Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after... Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. 800-531-3815 is the phone number, toll-free coast-to-coast, 800-531-3815. Very happy to tell you that our good friend, Steve Del Bianco, is our guest this half hour. Steve is an old friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's vice president with the Association for Competitive Technology. Steve, welcome back.
Thanks, Jim. And we're still digging out here in Washington from that snowstorm that hit us over President's Day weekend.
Yeah, you guys have got a lot. Now what you've got is the melt and the runoff turning into ice at night, don't you?
Well, before it turned into ice at night, it was water in my basement yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we're having a mess.
Well, yeah, all that snow's just sitting out there draining little by little instead of running on off. It's just seeping into everything, isn't it?
And Washington is a mess.
Yeah. Well, now, I'm coming to Washington in about a month.
It'll be melted by then.
To see you, actually, by then. Will you guys be in better shape by then?
I sure hope so.
I hope you will be, because I'm expecting to have a really nice... I'm counting on you to make sure I have a really nice trip while I'm down there.
What if I promise to have the cherry blossoms out for you?
There you go. You know what? It's been a while since I've been to Washington when the cherry blossoms were out. That's about the 1st of April, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, we'll have them out in force for you, because fourth annual fly-in, where we bring members and guests like yourself to Washington, D.C., to talk to members of Congress, administration, and agencies about issues affecting the small tech businesses of America.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I've broadcast my show from every one of those so far.
One of the highlights of the annual fly-in event is a number of our member companies get up earlier than they ever thought they would have to. To get on the radio with Jim Blasingame, and it's been great. They've all enjoyed it, and many of them have, I think, come back and been guests on your show after the fly-in.
Yeah, some of them have. Well, they didn't. Some of them have said they didn't think they could have that much fun this early in the morning.
Yeah.
But that's coming up the 31st and the 1st.
That's right.
31st of March, Monday and Tuesday, and the 1st of April. And tell us about that agenda.
What we'll do the night before is meet with a member of Congress and several staff members to talk and meet with about 40 or 50 small tech executives.
Right.
And then the next day, on Tuesday, we're going to unveil the latest installment of our TECHIE, our Tech Environmental Quality Index, or TEQI. It's a new index we've invented just at the end of 2002, and it's an index that measures the health of the tech environment as it affects small tech businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a significant development that you guys have created, Steve, and my hat's off to you. This is the kind of empirical data that the politicians need to have in their hands, isn't it?
It is, and in this town, while they collect plenty of data, and some of it's even empirical, most of it's focused entirely inside the Beltway. In other words, who's voting for what? Who's giving money to whom? And those kind of scorecards, I think, miss the point that jobs, growth and productivity are created outside the Beltway, not inside the Beltway. So the TECHIE is a brand new kind of an index because it focuses not on what's going on here in town, but on the effect on businesses all over America.
Well, it's grassroots where your bona fides are.
It has to be.
You have folks, the Association for Competitive Technology is an organization that represents small technology companies. You've got some big companies who are part of your organization, like Microsoft and some others. But basically, most of your bona fides, the people who make up the lion's share of your membership, are small companies, the people who are my audience, who just happen to be technology producers.
That's right. And SBA says that two-thirds of all high-tech jobs are created by those kind of firms, those with fewer than 500 employees. We know that most innovation in technology comes from those small tech firms, and that the technology has been the productivity driver for our overall economy.
Right.
Even through these last 3 years of dark, stormy days, productivity has continued to be strong, and I think it's attributable to the innovation that comes from small IT.
Well, and even the big companies, even the big IT companies are realizing that, that the little companies are crucial, not as competitors anymore so much, even if they are competitors.
They're a farm
system. From the standpoint of partnership, partnering.
You're right. They're almost like a farm system, a farm team system, because they generate a lot of the talent, ideas that the big companies then either acquire or partner to commercialize.
Right, exactly. And you know, one of the things that's exciting, one of the things that's happening right now that's exciting for me, Steve, is I remember when big companies would say, I want you to be my partner, but they didn't want to be your partner. But the 21st century is changing all that. These people are the big companies are getting it. I've said this before. They now realize that if they want me to be their partner, they need to also be my partner. And that's happening right now, and folks at the folks at ACT are helping to bring that about. 20 till, right back to Steve Del Bianco. Stay with me. We're back at 17 till. Thank you for bearing with me and with my gravelly voice this morning. I appreciate it very much. It doesn't hurt. It just sounds a little bit rough. But I'll be better tomorrow, I'm sure. Thank you for understanding that. As you know, you go to work when you feel a little bit less than 100%, and I do too. Steve Del Bianco is our guest. He's with the Association for Competitive Technologies. And Steve, the techie plan, tell us a little bit more about that. I want them to hear more about this, because one of the things that my audience knows that I talk about quite a bit, even when you're not here, Steve, is the importance that of small business owners getting involved in technology public policy. All of us, each and every one, without an exception, is a consumer of technology. I can't imagine anybody being in business without being a consumer of technology. Folks, if you've got a fax machine, you're a consumer of technology. And many of us are technology producers. And you know what, Steve? More and more of us, there are people today who would not say, who would disagree with you, if you and me, if we said, you'll be a technology producer within the next 5 years. Many of them will be. And so we've got to be educated. We've got to be knowledgeable about the public policy issues that are being decided right now with regard to technology as producers and as consumers, don't we?
It's true. And no matter what your business produces, it's most likely you are using technology to get it done more efficiently than 5 or 10 years ago. So that's the kind of productivity boost that technology enables your business to have.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked earlier about the importance of small business for job creation, innovation, productivity, and economic growth. Well, what's ironic is that these small tech firms we talked about are the most vulnerable of all to, say, policy decisions mm-hmm. and the unintended consequences of new regulations.
Collateral damage, I call it.
That's a good term for it.
Yeah.
And that's the plight. That's the plight of small business that we seek to highlight in our techie. And the key is that inside the Beltway, that plight of small business is not well known. So we've given it a catchy little acronym, the TEQI or techie. And every quarter, every calendar quarter, we're going to release an update to the techie to show whether it's up or down, how many points over the last 3 months.
Every quarter you're going to do that?
That's right. In fact, the first quarterly update is the one that you'll be here in Washington for at the fly-in. So
right.
We'll be talking about that on your radio show.
You've just announced the techie recently.
We did. And we reported the techie for the period from January of 2001 until December of 2002. So that two-year period, the techie saw, well, this is no surprise, right? The techie saw a 10% decline.
Right.
From a base value of 100 to an index value of 90 over that two-year period. And the way we calculated the decline was to measure all of these 45 different pieces of legislation, court cases, and agency regulation coming out of Washington, and assessed their probability and their potential impact. And the impact is something that rings true to your audience. It's questions like, how does this legislation affect the cost of doing business? How does it affect the cost or availability of raising capital?
Mm-hmm.
Does it disproportionately harm or lock out smaller firms? So many times regulation in Washington favors companies that are big enough to have lawyers and lobbyists to negotiate their way into a favored position. But regulated industries are typically those where you can name the top five companies in them. And that's just not the case in small business.
And
we also consider whether innovation or incentives for research and development are affected by the legislation. And finally, does it encourage or discourage businesses and consumers from spending on information technology?
Mm-hmm.
So taken together, the techies then, the probability times the potential impact for each of the pieces of legislation and court cases that we assessed.
This is unprecedented analysis, isn't it, Steve?
Jim, I hope that whether it's unprecedented or not, I hope that it gets the attention of Congress. They too often focus on the lobbyists who happen to be visiting their offices,
right.
And I want them to pay attention to the businesses out there, outside the Beltway, who are creating all the jobs.
Well, Steve, I'll tell you, I'm excited about what you guys are doing, and I think it's so beneficial because what we're doing with what you're doing, with what some of the other small business organizations like the Small Business Survival Committee and the NFIB and other people, including myself, what we're doing is we're hitting these policymakers from all fronts, and we're reminding them, guys, we're in the 21st century. The 20th century is gone. We've already eaten that food, and it's history. And we're in the 21st century. There is a new marketplace. There's a new economy. People are making their living totally different than the way they were 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago when many of the laws that you have and many of the mindsets of the people who are passing laws today were developed. And we've got to come into the 21st century with our policy-making decisions. You can't make 21st century policy with 20th century thinking. And we've got to keep hitting them from all fronts, from a tax standpoint, from a retirement standpoint, from a healthcare standpoint, from technology standpoint, from a regulatory standpoint, from an import-export standpoint. There's all these fronts, Steve, that we've got to hit them from.
And it's not just the new economy, Jim. Think about old economy companies who are using e-commerce to find new markets, new outlets for their goods and services.
That's the new economy component of their. As I've said 100 times before, Steve, on this show, the 21st century and the technology that we have is not about new rules; it's about new tools.
Yeah, and some old tools as well. For instance, I mentioned my basement flooded over the weekend,
yeah.
So I'm on the website looking for sump pumps that I can purchase and install. And frankly, they're available all over the country from manufacturers, wholesalers, and distributors. But if I buy it across state lines, believe it or not, it has an effect on what I'll pay for it, whether that company has to pay or collect sales tax.
Right.
And there's issues about privacy and commercial email that apply as well.
Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Steve DelBianco. Their website, by the way, folks, is ActOnline, ACTOnline.org. Check it out when you get a chance. A lot of good information there, and it's free. Tintel, stay with us.
Come down off your throne and leave your body alone.
Bye-bye. We're back at 7, Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. It's a good thing I'm coming up on the end of this segment because I don't know how much longer my voice is going to hold out. My website, by the way, is www.jbsba.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. This week's article is 1999 to 2003, The Bad News and the Good News. Check it out when you get a chance. You still got time to get that article this week. Steve DelBianco is our guest. He's vice president with the Association for Competitive Technology. Their website is actonline.org, actonline.org, and I recommend you check it out if you want to find out more about some things that you can do. I encourage you to join their organization. They don't ask for a lot. They just want your participation, and if you can send them a little bit of a money and contribution, that will help them to do a better job of lobbying for you. Steve, one of the components of the techie program that you're working on is the sales tax issue, isn't it?
It's not only sales tax, but fits into the broader context of interstate e-commerce.
Mm-hmm.
And consider the example we discussed before the break of a sump pump distributor in the state of Virginia who's trying to sell to people in California, New York, Texas, North Carolina, all around. What they've got to look at is the regulations, the patchwork of state rules affecting for whom and how they have to collect and remit sales tax from residences of those states. If they do business over the internet or over an 800 number. But more importantly, they've also got to take a look at the information they collect on that customer who called in or inquired. Because if they collect that information on their website, such as your name and address and your email address, that's personal information. And it's now more and more affected by a patchwork of state laws that govern how you collect it, what you're allowed to keep, what kind of notice you have to give to your customer, and how you're allowed to use that information, which we think is the most important aspect of all,
right.
Whether you're allowed to sell with or without permission to affiliates or unaffiliated businesses, whether you're allowed to send unsolicited email, known as spam, mm-hmm. back to those folks. Now, you may have a new special on sump pumps or the piece of equipment that the customer was looking for, and you might think nothing of sending them an email letting them know about the specials or the link back to your website. But if some of the state laws that we're seeing in state legislatures were to come to pass, that could be considered illegal and subject to private right of action,
mm-hmm.
Mandatory damages in a lawsuit, if you sent that without the appropriate amount of permission from the customer receiving the email.
And the appropriate amount is the operative term, isn't it?
And it's going to be different for each state depending upon what level of regulation is adopted.
And therein lies the problem, folks.
Yes, exactly.
Is how is a small business owner going to keep up with what all those are? The cyberspace is not supposed to have any boundaries. And these people are throwing up all these boundaries. What are there, 6,700 different, aren't there 6,700 different tax districts in the United States?
Jim, the last number I saw was 7,500 different jurisdictions across the United States.
Yeah,
that collect
several thousand.
It's true. They collect a different amount of sales tax. And in some small businesses, one of our members has had to deal with it by just collecting one lump sum amount,
yeah.
No matter where it is, and they eat the difference when they remit it to the different jurisdictions in the
right.
state. It's just too much work to compute where are you from, what's the rate, what is it applied to.
Each one of them has a different form to fill
That's
out.
Right. That's right, for remitting.
It's a nightmare.
So that patchwork is just beginning to erupt on the case of privacy for information collected online
right.
and emails that you send back to people. And what we are advocating here at ACT, part of the techie scoring, is to avoid this patchwork of state and local legislation that will stand in the way of doing e-commerce, which is a huge cost.
You're recommending a national standard?
We are. We are recommending federal preemption in areas of interstate commerce when it comes to privacy, commercial email, and we're looking for the same kind of a sane system and simplification when it comes to sales taxes.
This will
dramatically cut the cost of small businesses that do business online, but I think it's going to also have a huge benefit to consumers because they'll have more and more providers that are willing to sell to them.
The good news will be if we can get this done so that we can have one national standard. The bad news will be if you and I, Steve, aren't at the table when these things are being decided and we wind up getting screwed in the process.
Exactly. And how would, you know, if we're not at the table, what happens is that the new preemptive regime could impose brand new compliance costs. Costs that might be a pittance to, say, Home Depot, right?
Right.
But could be cruel injury to a small firm that only does $5 or $6 million a year in sales. So one of the things we're asking for in all of these federal preemptions is an exemption or a minimum to suggest that if a business is below, say, $5 million a year in annual sales, that it wouldn't be subject necessarily
right.
to this collection burden
right.
for the state sales tax or some of the burdens with information and privacy.
Now you know, folks, why we've got to be at the table. Now you know these are specific examples of what I mean when I say small business owners have got to be involved in these public policy debates. We need to be supporting people like Steve Del Bianco, Jonathan Zook, the good folks at ACT Online, and others who are helping us to keep us at the table. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Jim.
Good job. We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.